aren't in the Bible. Mistaken is the word that's in the Bible. And so I read the passages that Jesus mentioned about mistaken. And that arrived us at this lesson. And the mistake that Jesus talks about in the passage comes from Mark chapter 12. And it begins in verse 18. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. Now, Sadducees, obviously, are people of God, Jews, part of those people at that time that were God's children. And they asked Jesus a specific question pertaining to marriage, pertaining to offspring, and pertaining to the life after. Now, basically, they're asking Jesus to be able to trick him. Okay? They always ask Jesus a hard question. How many times do we read in the Bible people ask Jesus a hard question? Guess what? Every single time, he answered the hard question very simply, very truthfully. And the reason why they ask him a hard question is because they didn't know God's word. They were mistaken. Don't be mistaken. Follow-up passage is our lesson text for today. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? In the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Two different things. Jesus says you're mistaken. Why does he say they're mistaken? They're trying to trick him. Let's just look at it heart-wise and attitude-wise. Jesus, we got this special scenario. That's what happens in our lives. What ifs, right? What if somebody's on a desert island? What if somebody dies in a car crash? All the what ifs. And that's exactly what's presented to Jesus in the Bible. What if after what if after what if? And Jesus says, you're mistaken. You don't know the word of God. You don't know the power of God. There is nothing else except for the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Your what ifs don't count. It's exactly what the Sadducees and Pharisees multiple times in the New Testament did to Jesus. What if? What if? What if? Make an excuse for sin, try to trick Jesus, try to get out of having to follow him. Jesus says, you are mistaken. And at the end of this passage, he says, you are therefore greatly mistaken. So when somebody comes to you with the what if, you can tell them, Jesus says, you are mistaken. And you are greatly mistaken to question the word of God, to question the truth of God. We need to rely on that truth by faith. Because Satan tempts us with that. I'm going to have family and friends that aren't going to make it in the kingdom of heaven. And that disturbs me. I thought about it this morning. people I love, I want them to be following Jesus. Well, what if God, what if they did just enough good? What if they did this? What if they did that? It's not the case. I am greatly mistaken when Satan tempts me thinking I need to talk to them about following Jesus and the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come to the Father except through me. There's no other way. There are no what ifs, folks. Therefore, we are greatly mistaken. Don't be mistaken. And the great thing about this passage, God is not far off. God is not waiting for the world to decide what's going to happen to the world. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. We are living. I am joyous today. I am happy today to sit in a Bible class where God's Word is working in people's lives. And people believe and trust in the Word of God. And they're following Jesus. That is more elating to me and uplifting to me, folks, than all the other things that could happen in my life. I hope it is to you also. That's the power of God working in people's lives. How do people not know the Scriptures nor the power of God? Brother Brad was very honest in our Bible study this morning. Very convicting, very honest. God talks to me when I open His Word. Yeah, He talks to us a little bit in prayer in certain ways, but when we open His Word, when we open His Word, when we read the Bible. And folks, I know it's tough to do. But if you think that you can be all you can be for Jesus and not read the Bible, you are greatly mistaken. It's not possible. I work in construction. There's no way in the world I could help build a building without looking at the specifications and the drawings, the record documents. God's holy word, the Bible, is His record document for us. To serve Him, to make it happen. I don't know why this morning, but I'm just pointing the old pointer, aren't I? Normally don't do that. Folks, we've got to commit to opening God's Word. And if you don't do it at all, just try it just once. Put an app on your phone. Most all of us have smartphones that remind you just of a verse a day. That's at least as much as I do. Open your Bible. Set it on your bed so when you go to bed, okay? Set it on top of your iPad. Set it on top of your phone. Or make sure, okay, you've got plenty of resources on your electronic device to read God's Word. You can use technology to enhance your faith. Satan will use it to tempt you, but you can say, no, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to use it for good. How many people ask us questions about God and the kingdom of heaven, and it's just because they don't know the Scriptures, knowing the power of God? Power of God's in the Scriptures. Continuing on in the passage in Mark chapter 12, then one of the scribes came to him, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all your heart, with all the other understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared to question him. Folks, how do we do with this? How do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I ask this morning, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, are you greatly mistaken? You say you love God, but you don't open His Word. You say you love God, but you don't know the Scriptures of God. You say you're a child of the Most High God, but you don't follow what He asks us to do. This morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, I read this and it brings my heart and brings me to my knees. Because it doesn't say what I want. It doesn't say part. It says all. And Satan tempts me continually in my life to save a little bit back for me. Save a little bit. But I am greatly mistaken. Because God's Word says I need to give my all to Him. I need to open my heart. We need to open our heart to Him. We deceive ourselves when we say, "I love you, I'm doing all I can do, but I don't listen to you." How many of us have felt like that with children? Huh? Same situation with us as the children of God. "I love you, I love you, I love you, but I don't listen to you, and I don't do what you want me to do, and I'm not listening to you. And I'm not going to talk to you. And I don't believe what you say is right. I know better." And folks, we do the same thing to God. Don't be mistaken. God is not mocked. "We shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." How can I be a child of God and not get along with my neighbors? If nothing else, I just need to learn how to forgive. I know why some people like to camp. Because if you don't like your neighbors, the next time you go camping, you got different neighbors. Or if you don't like your neighbors, you just hook on the camper. Or if it's a motorhome, you just start the key and away you go. I'm going to get some new neighbors. Too many kids. They're up too late at night. They're drinking. Their dog barks. We go on and on and on and on and on. Those are insignificant to loving our neighbor as ourselves. Brother Brad mentioned it in the Bible study this morning. Above all, just like Jesus said, "I didn't come to judge the world. When I move away and I don't like my neighbors, I'm judging them." See, you can say that which is lost. Jesus said, "I didn't come to judge the world. I came to show you love and to seek and save that which is lost." And us following Him need to have the same mindset. The mind of Christ. The eyes of Christ. The words of Christ. The grace of Christ. Brother Brad, you know, God's Word touched my heart in Bible study this morning. Thank you, brother. The truth. The truth. And all I'll say, you folks who weren't here for Bible study this morning, you missed it. You missed it. I don't care what you eat at the potluck. Pitch-in, right? We went to Burlington, Iowa. They call them potlucks. In Michigan, they call them potlucks. Here, they're pitch-in. My brother Ron calls them lucky pot. That's his statement. He goes, "Are you having a lucky pot today after church?" No matter what you eat today and what dessert you have and how much it tastes good, man, you missed out if you weren't here for Bible study this morning. You missed out. Best thing of the day. Aside from me preaching right now. No, I'm just kidding. That would be me being greatly mistaken. Folks, it is written in 1 John 5, 1-3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Folks, I can't impress enough not to be, don't be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. This book is a book of love. It's a book of freedom. It's a book of eternal life. It's not a book of Debbie Downers like the world wants us. Okay? It's not a racist book. It's not a hateful book like the world wants to portray it. Have faith in these words. Do not be mistaken. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Hebrews 4:12, it is written, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I've never seen the movie, okay, but I'll just tell you, because I know, I'm not mistaken, God is not dead. Okay? I don't have to go to a movie to see that. I know that. But his word is living and powerful. It's truthful. It's relevant. It will help us in our lives through every time and trial. As mentioned earlier in our lesson this morning, the scribes and Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus and get him out of following Jesus and try to make excuses of why they don't want to do what's right. Because they don't have faith in him. They don't believe in him. And it's the same thing with us. If we don't read his word and follow his word, his commandments are not burdensome. For the word of God is living and powerful. It will make a difference. I am a wretch of a man. And the only good that's come out of me, the best things about me being a father or a husband have come from Jesus directing my path and my life. The best times I've been the best worker, the best servant, the best Christian is when I'm following Jesus. When I'm not mistaken. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Folks, a lot of us don't want to open that. A lot of us, it's a tough thing to do. Part of a Christian is opening our heart to the word and will of God. And that's tough. We're conditioned not to open our hearts in our intents, in our thoughts, to compartmentalize, to hide. There are millions of sins and thoughts in just this room right here. In our lives, throughout our lives, not right at this moment, but throughout our lives. And we want to hide them and give them to Jesus. He died on the cross to take them away, for him not to hinder us. Satan wants us to think we're not saved. Satan wants us to question God's word. Satan wants us to be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. But God's word is a discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart, folks. It's a heart issue. There are things in my life that I've never told my wife. I was 26 when we got married. Okay? I became a Christian when I was 25. There are things that happen in my life at work that I don't tell my wife. I don't tell my wife everything. Would she listen? Probably. Does she tell me everything? Yeah, I listen. I'm just kidding a little bit. Folks, it's the same with all of us. But you got to believe that it's good for you and it's the right thing to do to not be mistaken, to open God's word and let it work in your heart. And those people that aren't here today don't believe in that. Those people that haven't obeyed Jesus and his gospel don't believe in that. And it's sad, but don't be mistaken and fall in the same trap and make excuses not to follow Jesus. Not to have eternal life. Matthew 4:4, it is written, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We talked this morning, again in Bible class, about the tongue. Everything that comes from God's mouth to us is uplifting and edifying and convicting. Has salvation and blessing and love and grace. All the things that we really desire and are created to participate in. We have learned not to be like God because of the world. Now we have to retrain ourselves. And you know what? I've been a Christian almost 30 years and I'm continually training myself to follow Jesus. But I know the value. It's a pearl of great price to have eternal life and have salvation. It is a joy to walk in the heavenly and the kingdom way. It's a joy to read God's word. And so I ask myself and convict myself, Don, why don't you read it more every day? Because I'm mistaken. I'm going to try not to be. That's a neat thing about this. God doesn't say, you know what? You didn't talk to me today. Now, I'll just do it this way. If I wake up in the morning and don't say a word to Kelly, that's my wife, don't say nothing, don't say good morning, don't talk about the weather, don't talk about anything, you know, don't recommend what she wears to work, you know, make sure it looks right and all that kind of stuff. I'm just jesting. I can't decide on the 4 or 5 outfits she's got laid out at either. We go to work. Sometimes I text her. Sometimes I talk to her on the phone at noontime. Sometimes, you know, and then towards the end of the day or on the way home, we call each other. What's dinner? Where are we going? What's going to go on? What's happening tonight? What's your plans? What happens if I go a whole day and I don't say anything to my wife? Zero. And I don't even think about it. I ain't got time for that. How do you think she would feel? Something ain't right. Folks, how do you think God feels when we don't talk to him? We don't think about him. We don't read his holy word. Something ain't right. We are greatly mistaken. I plead with you, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, to change that. Because it's an individual responsibility to follow him. Last passage of this morning, the lesson is yours. Luke 11:28. But he said, Jesus, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Plead with us this morning, folks. Don't be mistaken. God's word is living and powerful and active in our lives. And it's a connection point. It's a guiding point, and it helps us be all we can be for him, to have a great life, a joyful life, full of grace and mercy and peace. All the things, folks, that we treasure and want to feel daily in our lives. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Pray, if you have not committed to follow Jesus, been baptized into Him for the remission of your sins, we plead with you to do that this morning. If you have anything in your heart you want to make right with God, we plead with you to do that too. To focus on what He's promised us and what He can do for us and what He wants us to be this week. If you have any need to respond to invitation, we offer that invitation now as we stand and sing the selected hymn.